For this morning's devotion, I'll be reading from Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 20. And now that I know what Jack is speaking on, we always pray that the Lord would link these things together, and he is speaking on another letter from Paul, and the Lord is certainly always leading us when we are submitted to him and trusting in. And so I appreciated very much the message this morning and look forward to it again, because you always get something two or three, four times listening. You always pick something else up. The first 13 verses of Ephesians 5 deal with that battle between light and darkness. And as humans, our natural inclination, our default setting is always that darkness, but God has given us light. Verse 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." People do not simply commit acts of evil or darkness, but the essence of our heart, that is dark. Jeremiah spoke of that in Jeremiah 17, speaking of the darkness, verse 9, of the wickedness of man's heart. Their wicked acts and of lust, filthiness, uncleanness, the list goes on that Paul shares in the first few verses. These are projections, they're manifestations of the deprived inner man. But when we give our lives over to Jesus, we become children of light, as he has said. For God is light, so we become light bearers. As God is love, we become ones who love as God loves, outwardly showing those affections and living them out. A manifestation of the love which dwells within, because he dwells within us. Now, equipped with this pretext that Paul gives, he concludes in Ephesians 5 with the application, the practical instructions of how to live out this in our daily lives. And so I will read Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 20. Verse 14, "Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The first step he concludes in verse 14 is to awake. Each morning we awake. We awake from a dead-like slumber. As the light, especially now that the days are getting a little longer, the light starts coming through your window, it makes it a lot easier to get up when you are given that light. So we are to awake from sleep. It is God who causes the sun to rise each day, according to Matthew 5, verse 45, and many other references within the Bible. He sustains the universe. Likewise, it is Christ that gives man light through his indwelling Spirit, to enlighten the inner man. This is the rebirth that the Bible speaks of, that we must be born again. You think of how Jesus raised Lazarus in John 11, and he spoke with full authority as God, and he simply spoke and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't have to perform any miracle physically doing something. He just simply needs to speak, and it happens. So the Lord does the same within our dead, spiritually dead bodies. He awakens that spirit and puts his Holy Spirit within us. And once awakened and given life, he tells us to walk circumspectly, meaning we are to walk diligently or accurately, to be purposeful in how we walk. There are many examples of people in the Bible who walked before God and walked in a godly way, but there's only two that walked with God, and that was Enoch and Noah. These two men are especially stand out in the Bible as men that walked with God, and we know that both they were preserved by God. Enoch was taken prior, never tasting death physically, and Noah was taken through the flood, never suffering the death that came through it. So we are to walk with God, because we can. God dwells within us through his Holy Spirit. Everyday life, we must go about our day not thinking of, you know, so often we don't think of our physical walk, thinking one step after another. We just go from place to place. But you just need to be in a difficult situation or have your fears right before you. And all of a sudden your physical walk can become very, you can become very aware of it. I know that if you have any fears, whether it be heights or maybe being in front of a crowd, I remember having to be in some of these school plays, even at MCI, being invited up onto the stage, and I didn't want to go up there, but they called me by name, and so you have to go up there. And all of a sudden your feet become very heavy and your balance is not all there. And you become very aware, you're thinking one step in front of the other. You become very aware of your walking. Well, we should have that in mind always, because we are walking before the God of the universe, the one who created it all. There's no step that goes unnoticed in his sight. He knows exactly what we are going through. When we walk wisely, then we redeem the time, as Paul writes. We know we cannot make time. It's not something you can go home and go into your shop and make time. It is a finite resource. It's not something that you can buy or sell. It is something that is allotted by God to each individual in differing amounts. We don't know our allotted time. God has appointed a certain amount of time for each human soul to live on this earth. And so we must be very aware of that time, redeem the time. We can waste time, but to redeem time means to spend it wisely, to invest it. Invest it to glorify God, invest it to build up fellow believers, invest it to tell the unbelieving. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." We are to walk in wisdom. We redeem the time by understanding the will of God and following it, because then our finite time on earth is invested in the infinite riches of God's holy kingdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We are not to be foolish. We are not to shun the wisdom of God, even when it's difficult for us to hear and to live out. We are not to dull the mind through drunkenness, both physically and spiritually. Yes, we can be drunk on all sorts of things, not just simply alcohol, but the worldly desires, we can be drunk on those as well. And they can be stumbling blocks before us. They can blind us. No, we are to be filled with his Spirit and lead a Christ-honoring life. So how do we practically apply these lessons, or what Paul is summing up here in Ephesians 5? Well, verses 19 and 20 give us very practical instructions. The first one is to speak. Speak the truth of God's word. Next, we are to sing. Make melody. And lastly, we are to give thanks. Give thanks always and in all situations. We are to speak to one another in faith with the language of God to encourage each other. Speak truth to even the unbeliever as well. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Secondly, we are to sing outwardly, make melody inwardly. This, over the past last year, singing has been diminished in a lot of places. And I think of at UGM with our meetings, we always start off with prayer and with singing a hymn. Well, we continue online singing with the prayer, but the singing hasn't always happened because it doesn't work out very well. It hasn't, and it's an aspect that we are missing. You have to make melody inwardly, but we are really missing it. I personally have missed that time of fellowship, of singing together. It's been sorely missed. But God instructs us, when possible, to sing for His glory. It is a form of worship, and that is our primary purpose in life, is to worship the one who created us. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And the final instruction in verse 20 is to give thanks. Give thanks always for all things. Now, that is not an easy task by any means. We find it when there is a blessing that we recognize in our lives, it is easy to give thanks. We also find it very easy to find the difficulties or to point out the heartaches that we endure. But it's very difficult to give thanks in those situations, when we go through those difficult times, when nothing seems to go right, to thank God in those situations. And yet, there is always a reason to give thanks. God is always teaching us and leading us, and He is never going to forsake us or leave us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Paul concludes that we give thanks in the name above all names. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are never to be ashamed of that name, for there is infinite power in it. There are many within the faith who shy away from using the name of Jesus, treating it more as a sin than as salvation, but we are never to be ashamed of that name. Jesus Himself said in John 14 that whatsoever we ask in His name, that will He do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So let us continue to preach the Word of God, sing praises to our Lord, and give thanks to Him, to Jesus, always. For He has purchased us from darkness so that we can walk in light.